It is a humble journey, the one we began on Ash Wednesday and continue today, the first Sunday in Lent. It begins with an undignified smudge of ash on our foreheads in the shape of a cross with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Foreheads that were splashed with baptismal waters years earlier, and another mark of a cross, this time with holy oil, saying, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." It is an amazing, remarkable, life-changing journey for us because we peek out of an empty tomb to watch it begin. And we know that this journey is filled with God's voice ringing in Jesus' ears, the devil's temptations and wild beasts lurking in the shadows of his 40 days in the wilderness, angels when he needs them, and his unashamed commitment to his heavenly Father in the face of temptation by the devil. Temptation almost always calls us to be someone we are not, and it denies our identity as beloved of God. It comes in forms that are as unique as our fingerprints, but as universal as the story we just heard. Notice the preface in each of the three temptations. If you are the Son of God, if you will worship me, and finally, again, if you are the Son of God. The devil offers to give Jesus that which is already his. It is a sleight of hand with which the devil tries to trick Jesus, but the offer is conditional on Jesus denying his true identity by doing something that betrays his relationship with God. It harkens back to the garden where Adam and Eve were tempted to become like God when they had already been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. Of course, Adam and Eve succumbed to the temptation, but Jesus does not. Jesus' first temptation, turning stones into bread, doesn't seem that bad or evil to me on the surface. After all, didn't Jesus multiply fishes and loaves later in his ministry to feed hungry people? What could it hurt? Nobody's looking to turn a stone into bread when he's so hungry. It seems to be a perfectly innocuous act. But it's not simply the act of turning the stone into bread that is the temptation. It is the need to prove his identity as the Son of God by doing so. You see, it is often in the intention that temptation catches us in its snare. Why we do what we do is often at least as important in our lives as what we do. In college, I had a campus minister who would say the following statement over and over again, and it starts like this: God doesn't care what you do or say. And of course, all us college kids in the campus ministry went, "Cool." And then he'd finish the sentence: "As long as you have given your heart and mind to God." Oh, I knew there was a catch. The presumption of that statement is, of course, if my words and actions proceed from a heart and mind that loves God, then God will help me to have the good intentions that I need to in order to please God. The next temptation for Jesus has to do with where his allegiance and devotion lies. Jesus, if you will give your heart to me rather than to God, then the devil will give Jesus the kingdoms of this world with all their glory and authority. But Jesus knows that he already has a kingdom, that he is already a king. But it is a kingdom that is not like the kingdoms of this world. In fact, it is a kingdom that transcends all of the kingdoms of this world. That's why Jesus is here, after all, to usher in a new kingdom, to inaugurate a new kind of rule, one of love and compassion, not coercive power and corrupt authority. So for Jesus to accept this offer from the devil would deny the whole reason for Jesus being. And again, it denies his relationship with God, because the fulfillment of the temptation's promise requires Jesus to worship and serve someone other than God. Finally, Jesus is tempted to make a false show of sacrifice by pretending to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, only to be rescued by angels at the last possible second, most probably in front of a huge crowd who would be worshiping at the temple in order to prove his identity as God's son. But this would be in direct conflict with Jesus being lifted up on a cross as a usurper of Roman rule and Jewish religious authority for the forgiveness of sins. To die a criminal's death, though innocent as a lamb, in order to show the world that God is love. This journey, following Jesus this Lent, repenting and believing the good news about the nearness of God's reign, we make it together, not alone. Empowered by the same Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus before his journey into the wilderness. And as we encounter the wild beasts in our own wilderness, we have the promise that Jesus has been there before us and is with us now. Amen.